12 minutes after 6 on this Wednesday morning, and with part 1 of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures yesterday, Tuesday, on the Board of Trade were lowered across the board. Corn was a nickel lower, beans faded into the red at the close, and wheat closed with Tuesday losses. First off, taking a look at your corn, after a failed attempt at turnaround Tuesday, front month corn futures ended the session with 3 to a 5 1/4 cent loss. There were also zero deliveries issued overnight against December, but limited rain in Brazil and some first of the month asset allocation selling pressured the market. USDA's grain crushing report after the close showed a 8% increase in the month's corn use for ethanol. In October, the national corn grind was 432.713 million bushel. That produced 1.8 million tons of dry distillers grains. That's a monthly increase of 3.75%, but it's still 3.75% below October of 2019. Stone X estimates Brazilian corn production at 109.34 million metric tons. That's a 1.76 million metric ton decrease from their November estimate. Again, corn down 3 to 5 cents on Tuesday. Front month bean futures ended the first trading day of the new month with 6.25 to 6.75 cent losses. Soybean meal also faded midday and closed 30 to 50 cents a ton lower. Soybean oil futures were the weakest of the soy complex, closing 1 to 2% lower. USDA reported October soybean crush at 196.55 million bushel. That was in line with estimates and 15% above September for a record October crush. Crushers reported 4.335 million tons of soybean meal and 2.282 billion pounds of soybean oil. Soybean oil stocks were at 1.964 billion pounds. That was above the average guess, but in line with the range of estimates. Stone X estimates Brazilian soybean production at 133.91 million metric tons. That's a 43,000 metric ton increase from their November estimates. Again, soybeans were down roughly 6 cents yesterday. And finally, front month wheat futures closed turnaround Tuesday with additional losses from Monday. Chicago Board of Trade wheat futures closed the session 7 to 7 3/4 cents lower with a 14 3/4 cent drop in delivery for December contracts. Kansas City ended with 7 3/4 to 8 cent losses, and Minneapolis spring futures were down by 3.5 to 4.5. Estimates ahead of Stats Canada's crop production report averaged 34.6 million metric tons of wheat production, which would be a 455,000 metric ton increase if realized. A Russian report suggests that 22% of winter grain is in poor condition, the largest portion for the category since 2013. Japan's Department of Agriculture issued the regular food wheat tender, seeking 67,000 metric tons from the U.S. and 60,000 from Canada and Australia. And Australia's Department of Agriculture projected Aussie production to be at 31.17 million metric ton, which would be the largest since the 31.819 million metric tons in 2016-2017. So again, recapping your lower grain futures across the board from yesterday, Tuesday. December corn down 5, 4.14 3/4. March corn down 5 1/4, 4.20 3/4. May corn down 5 as well, 4.24. Soybeans in January for yesterday, Tuesday, were down by 6.5 at 11.62. March beans down 6.5 as well at 11.63. May beans down 6 3/4 at 11.61. Chicago wheat for December was down by 14 3/4, 5.65 1/2. March wheat down 7 3/4, 5.77 1/4. May wheat down 7.5, 5.81 1/4. Oats for December, the lone bright spot, up 5 cents, 2.89 3/4. March oats up 0.5 cent at 2.91 3/4. Soybean meal December up 40 cents, 3.93.50. January bean meal down 30 cents, 390.20 a ton. And finally, soybean oil for January and December, both down 48 cents. December at 37.40, January at 37.01. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Tuesday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Tuesday's reported grain price and trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. The Illinois country grain prices were mostly lower on Tuesday afternoon, as technical selling on the Board of Trade weighed on grain values today. in northern and western Illinois country. Grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 2 to 5 cents at 386 to 415. Soybeans bids were 7 cents lower at 1112 to 1151. In the central part of the state, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 1 to 3 cents, 397 to 424, while soybean bids were 4 to 7 cents lower at 1137 to 1169. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady to down 2 cents at $4 to 435, while soybean bids were 2 to 7 cents lower at 1127 to 1184. Illinois soybean processors cash soybean bids were down 5 cents at 1169 to 1179. Basis is up 2 at 7 over to 17 over the January. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $396.50 to $403.50 a ton, up 40 cents a ton, with basis unchanged at 3 over to 10 over the December. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were mixed, 416 to 439, with basis at 5 under to 18 over the March. Illinois River barge loading elevators coated to produce the corn bids 4 cents lower, 415 to 423, with basis 6 under to 8 over the March. Soybeans ended mostly steady to 2 cents higher at 1159 to 1165, with basis up 6 to 8 at 300 to 3 over the January. East St. Louis barge loading terminal placer produced corn bids 4 to 5 cents lower at 440 to 442. Their soybean prices were mixed, quotations at 1179 to 1182. Soft wheat closed down 14 cents at 595 to 596. Milo ended the day 5 cents lower at 475 to 497. Contract bids for producers for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 389 to 421, soybeans at 1112 to 1154. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 401 to 424, soybeans at 1139 to 1171. In the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 414 to 445, soybeans at 1141 to 1188. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures report here from yesterday, Tuesday. Your cattle markets finished higher Tuesday, and hogs finished mixed to mostly steady Tuesday. First off, live cattle futures were 30 to 45 cents higher at the close. Feeder cattle closed 60 to 82 cents higher. Monday's CME feeder cattle index was at 140.30, up another $1.41. The FCE online cattle auction has 1,025 head listed for today's sale. Cash trade has been limited this week with some $107 to $110 action in Nebraska. Wholesale boxed beef prices were mixed again in the afternoon report, tightening the choice to select spread to $20.32. Choice boxes were 28 cents weaker, selects were 65 cents higher. USDA has estimated the weekly federally inspected cattle slaughter for yesterday, Tuesday, at 122,000 head. Week-to-date slaughter is 241,000 head. That's 1,000 head weaker than this time last week and even with last year. Lean hog futures ended yesterday with a 5 to 32 cent gain, save for a 60 cent loss in December and a 2 cent give back in April. The CME lean hog index for the 27th of last month was down 34 cents to 66.81. Pork cutout futures were also mixed at the close, ending with 55 cents of unchanged. USDA's national pork carcass cutout value was down $3.01 in the afternoon report at 77.08 a hundredweight. Hams were down the most with a $8.54 drop to 73.83. The national average base hog price for Tuesday afternoon was $56.67, unchanged on the day. And USDA's federally inspected hog slaughter for Tuesday was estimated at 493,000 head. The week's slaughter is 990,000, down 4,000 from last week and 2,000 head below last year. So going back over your mixed but mostly higher livestock futures, live cattle for December yesterday, Tuesday, gained 45 cents at 110.62. February live cattle gained 30 cents at the close, 113.17. April live cattle at 42, 116.82. Feeder cattle for January were up 60 cents at the Tuesday close, 141.65. March feeders up 67 at 140.65. April feeders up 80 at 141.87 at the Tuesday close. Finally, your lean hogs for December were down by 60 cents at 66.97. February hogs gained 17 at 68.75. April lean hogs only gave up 2 pennies at 71.37 at the Tuesday close. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday, Tuesday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday afternoon livestock report. Starting the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound park carcass traded unchanged in a range of $48 to $58.50 with a weighted average carcass price of $56.67. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price were steady with moderate demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded $28 to $34. 4 to 5 weighted $32 to $36. 5 to 6 weighted $35 to $39. And over 600 pounds $39 to $41. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were a dollar lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $35 to $41. Packer receipts for barrels and gilts totaled $18,968. In the direct cattle trade, from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers live basis trade at 110, and on address basis at 172. Choice heifers and live basis traded at 110, and on address basis at 172. From the National Daily Pork Plant Port, trading for retail and processing cuts was established. 438 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound park carcass is $77.08, which is $3.01 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $243.40, which is 28 cents lower, while select carcasses were $223.08, which is 65 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 122,000, compared to 122,000 last week, 122,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 493,000, compared to 497,000 last week and 496,000 one year ago. That includes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys at the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Pros Drainage, by Farm Credit Illinois, and by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield. Part two of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by the CNB Bank and Trust with 17 locations to serve you, by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by Stein Seed. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now we'll take a look at the latest national ag news for this Wednesday morning. With less than 2 weeks before the current spending package expires, lawmakers are working on a package to fund the federal government for the remainder of fiscal year 2021. R.J. Carney, American Farm Bureau Federation Congressional Relations Director, says the negotiations are ongoing.
The federal government is currently operating under a continuing resolution, which will expire on December 11th. The House and Senate have agreed to top-line spending amounts for all 12 appropriation bills. The next step is for the subcommittee chairs to finalize and agree on the specific allocations within their specific bill.
Carney says Farm Bureau has a list of priorities for the agricultural spending bill, including an extension and additional funding for the Wildfire Hurricane Indemnity Program, or WIP Plus.
This is critical for the farmers and ranchers impacted by the numerous hurricanes, the derecho, the flooding, and the wildfires that have persisted throughout 2020. The derecho is currently not a qualifying disaster event because under current USDA guidelines, unlike hurricanes, derechos are not named storms. So AFBF is requesting there be a policy change to allow farmers and ranchers impacted by the derecho to receive funding for the WIP Plus program.
Carney says it appears Congress has all intentions to finalize 2021 spending bills.
There are a lot of politics still to play out over the next 2 weeks, and a lot of discussions will occur both within the House and Senate committee chairs, but then also within the leadership and in coordination with the White House. If Congress is unable to come to a resolution, then we would likely see another continuing resolution, which would extend early into the next Congress and the new administration.
Again, that was R.J. Carney, American Farm Bureau Federation Congressional Relations Director. In other news off Capitol Hill, House lawmakers will be nominating the next House Agriculture Committee chairman on Thursday. A committee spokesperson confirmed leadership will decide who to back for the position, according to the Hagstrom Report. The two candidates being considered are David Scott, a Democrat from Georgia, and Jim Costa, a Democrat from California. Scott is next in line, seniority-wise, and endorsed by outgoing Chairman Colin Peterson. Peterson, a Democrat from Minnesota, lost his reelection bid. Once the 117th Congress is seated in early next year, the full chamber will vote on leadership candidates. Representative Marsha Fudge was also considering the leadership position, but is in the running to be the next Secretary of Agriculture. Other reported agriculture secretary candidates include former North Dakota Senator Heidi Heidekamp and Obama-era Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack. Robert Bonney is leading the Agriculture Department transition team for the Biden administration. Bonney served as the Undersecretary for Natural Resources and Environment at the USDA during the Obama administration. And in news from the USDA, the Department of Agriculture yesterday, Tuesday, reopened a comment period regarding a petition from a vaccine manufacturer seeking approval to produce a foot-and-mouth disease vaccine. The comment period was announced by USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service for an additional 30 days. The vaccine consists of a modified, non-infectious, and non-transmissible strain of the virus on the U.S. mainland. Although introduction of the live FMD virus into the United States is prohibited by law, the petition states that this strain should not be considered a live FMD virus as it is non-infectious, non-transmissible, and incapable of causing FMD. Public comments will be accepted through January 21st of next year by the Federal Register. FMD is a severe and highly contagious viral disease affecting cows, pigs, sheep, goats, deer, and other animals with divided hooves. It was eradicated from the U.S. in 1929, but if it were to infect the U.S. livestock industry yet again, it would likely cause devastating economic effects. In the latest ag news on ethanol, key ethanol Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa says he just spoke with EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler, and hence Wheeler may be open to last-minute relief for the industry on small oil refinery waivers. Grassley says he spoke to Wheeler about the oil industry's appeal to the Supreme Court of a lower court ruling that struck down most retroactive small oil refinery ethanol waivers.
And I consider it a very positive conversation. Didn't get into a lot of details. He didn't say exactly what he was going to do, but everything that he said was, music to my ears and maybe to some extent a little unexpected.
Then Grassley got more specific, referring to the lower court ruling against the small refinery ethanol waivers.
One move that he can't really comment on, and that's until the Supreme Court makes a decision on whether or not they're going to take certiorari on the Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals on the RFS.
But the ethanol industry still fears the Trump EPA may run out the clock in nationalizing the Tenth Circuit Court ruling and on setting new renewable volumes for 2021 after missing the November 30th deadline to do so. Grassley says it would then be up to a Biden administration to act.
And I think that Biden's hands will be forced by the Tenth Circuit opinion. The small refineries will be, for the most part, these exemptions will be eliminated if the Tenth Circuit's followed.
The exemptions cost the ethanol industry more than 4 billion gallons in lost demand over the last 3 years leading up to the pandemic, idled 15 to 20 plants, and cut corn prices by 20 to 25 cents ahead of the virus. Ethanol and corn demand have recovered much of their losses since then as the economy's adjusted and grain exports to China have picked up. It's a now normal sign of the times, virtual events, but you can add Growmark to the list of companies holding their first. The company held a virtual annual meeting on Tuesday of more than 1,000 attendees. Normally, the Growmark annual meeting happens every August at the Hilton Chicago, but to comply with Illinois mitigation measures, the decision was made to hold it virtually after the fiscal year closed on August 31st. Holding the meeting in December allowed for audited financial results to be presented in full and also brings an update after the acquisition of certain southern states' cooperative agronomy and energy assets. Despite the challenges from COVID-19, a devastating derecho in the key Midwestern markets, and energy volatility in the market, financial performance was respectable with strong earnings from operations. Growmark was able to distribute nearly $66 million in patronage distribution to shareholders this year. Growmark is the parent company of FS Cooperatives throughout Illinois, Iowa, and Wisconsin, and serves almost 400,000 customers across North America and is headquartered in Bloomington. Moving on into State of Illinois Ag News, researchers are putting a new twist on a very old soil conservation practice. The acronym WASCOB, or WASCOB for short, stands for Water and Sediment Control Basin. It's an updated version of a dry dam. Those have been used forever to slow soil erosion. A WASCOB adds nutrient runoff to that list by holding water in place behind the dam for a longer duration, according to Southern Illinois University scientist John Schoonover. He's been working a series of WASCOBs around the Petersburg area in Menard County.
Each one of these are equipped with control structure where we can monitor the discharge and we can also monitor the stage within each one of those basins. The ones without WASCOBs have partial flumes at the end, so we can also do a comparison of that water coming out of the outlet, so how much drainage we're getting through these basins. The basins are retaining water about 12 hours on average, I'd say. So they're holding water back for a little while, and that's allowing for some processing going on. So we're seeing DRP concentrations, or dissolved reactive phosphorus concentrations, about half of what we're seeing in the non-WASCOB watershed. So there is some microbial processing going on. TSS is settling out. We have some denitrification probably occurring in those watersheds as well, because we're seeing lower nitrate concentrations in those outlets compared to the upper basins.
Dry dams are dry until it rains, and then they can be farmed through and over. They act as a detention basin holding water. There is a tile line beneath the detention basin and a tile riser for larger events. The tile is generally best used to control nutrient runoff if it dumps into another nutrient call structure. A grass buffer zone is a good example. If you'd like to learn more about WASCOBs and other nutrient loss reduction practices, then check out the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast online. Just search Google for Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast. In other state ag news, we have the last weekly crop report of the season. Temperatures were about 4 degrees above normal last week, even as some areas saw snow and experienced a hard freeze. Crop statistician Mark Sloysener says rainfall was above normal as well.
There were 3.8 days suitable for field work across the state last week, and topsoil moisture supplies increased to just 3% very short, 13 short, 69 adequate, and 15% surplus.
99% of the winter wheat crop in Illinois has emerged, and 79% is rated in good to excellent condition, and that's an improvement over 2 weeks ago. Pasture conditions also improved and were rated at 53% in good to excellent condition. And as the calendar has turned to December, meteorological winter has arrived, and it should be a quiet start to the season other than some chilly northwestern winds to begin off the month, according to DTN Chief Ag Meteorologist Bryce Anderson.
There's not any real harsh winter system at all that is going to be around. I mean, when we have a forecast where it's pretty consistently in the range of 25 to 30 for the overnight lows after tomorrow, all the way into the December 15th time frame, actually, and then daytime highs in the mid-40s, you know, give or take a few degrees, maybe even bumping 50 occasionally, that's certainly doable. I mean, at this time of year, there are some occurrences that I've had in the past 5 to 10 years where I've had some assignments to go into the Midwest for, you know, for different meeting events and so forth, and have run into some pretty hefty rounds of snow at this time. But there's just not that type of dynamic at all. It's just not a real wet scenario to supply moisture to produce any type of precipitation. And along with that, the energy dynamics to trigger anything are also just pretty much absent from this pattern.
Anderson anticipates the more stormy winter-type weather to come to us in late January, into February, and maybe even into early March. And moving on into local ag news, extension webinar opportunities are being offered today through the 15th of this month. To find a full list of the upcoming extension webinars, just go to our website, wsmiradio.com/ag, scroll down to the Agriculture Headlines tab, and there you'll find extension webinar opportunities. First off, the first webinar is today at 3 this afternoon, and it's Fun with Evergreen Foliage. You can craft some holiday elegance with evergreen foliage from your home and for your home. You can learn how to craft your favorite holiday decor and how to source suitable materials in your home landscape. You can learn how to make a wreath and follow along at home with hands-on activities for outdoor holiday planters or evergreen gnomes. The presenter for today's webinar is Andrew Holsinger, and again begins at 3 p.m. Tomorrow, Thursday at 7 p.m. is the Pruning Guide for Evergreen webinar. Learn the best practices for pruning your pine, spruce, juniper, or other evergreen tree. The presenter there for tomorrow's webinar is Sarah Vogel. And then coming up on Friday is a Grain Farm Income Outlook with Risk and Rental Implications. The presenters for the 2020 and 2021 Grain Farm Outlook are Gary Schnittke and Dale Latz. Coming up on Saturday is the We Naturalists Animal Tracks webinar. Nature-loving children, families, and educators are invited to explore a different nature theme from November through May of next year through video stories and lessons. Pre-recorded hour-long sessions are appropriate for families with children ages 4 to 7 and pre-K to second grade educators. The presenter there is Peggy Doty. And remember to catch a full list of all the extension webinar opportunities that will be offered through Tuesday the 15th. Just go to our website again, wsmiradio.com/ag. Scroll down to the Agriculture Headlines tab and find U of I extension webinar opportunities. And that will conclude your Ag News here for a Wednesday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by an email at wsmi@wsmiradio.com. So again, for this Wednesday morning, December 2nd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.